Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله all unqualified praise is due to Allah and after that all unqualified praise is due to Allah الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين all unqualified praise is due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم all praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that there is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. له الملك. His is the kingdom. وله الحمد. To him is due all unqualified praise. بيده الخير. In his hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. بعثه في الأميين. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered. ورسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين. Allah raised him up from among the unlettered, showing them how to follow the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purifying them and teaching them the book and the wisdom and drawing them out of the darkness into the light, while before this they were in open, obvious, and evident strain. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله and upon his family وصحبه أجمعين all of them and his companions and upon you, O Muslim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of this is the gracious, that is Allah's attribute, the gracious. Caused the Quran to be known, he created the insan and he taught him speech and intelligence. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. I want to read a couple of reports, a portion of large reports from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they have significant bearing on the subject that we continue today, further into the frontier of the Holy Quran. And this is the latter portion of Warqa bin Nufail, who Khadija, and I'll read the story, bin Khuwailid, radiallahu anhu, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took to give him clarity on what he had experienced on the first experience, on his first experience of the revelation of the Quran. A portion reported in Bukhari is this: then Allah's messenger returned with the inspiration and with his heart beating severely. This is after that moment that he experienced Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Then he went to Khadija bint Khuwailid and said, "Cover me, cover me." She covered him till his fear was over. And after that, he told her everything that had happened and said, "I fear that something may happen to me." Khadija replied, "Never. By Allah, Allah never disgraced you. You keep good relations with kith and kin. You help the poor and the destitute. You serve your guests generously, and you assist the deserving calamity-afflicted ones." Khadija then accompanied him to her cousin, Warqa bin Nufail bin Asad ibn Abdul Uzza. Now, Abdul Uzza was one of the, if I'm remembering correctly, one of the idols of the time, but then his history is the history before the Prophet, and plus he was not a Muslim at this time. But I just, since we have to say the name, we will make reference to what it's actually speaking to. She took him to him who, during the pre-Islamic period, he became a Christian and used to write the writing with Hebrew letters. He would write from the gospel in Hebrew as much as Allah wished him to write. As much as Allah wished him to write. He was an old man and had lost his eyesight. Khadija said to Warqa, "Listen to the story of your nephew, my cousin." Warqa asked, "Oh, my nephew, what have you..." This nephew is a term of affiliation, not that he was the blood nephew. Sometimes I do, you know, it's like, "Hey, nephew." It's an affectionate term that we use towards those younger among us, but not related by blood. So he said, "Oh, my nephew, what have you seen?" Allah's messenger, peace be upon him, described whatever he had seen. Warqa said, "This is the same one who keeps the secrets." He was speaking of the angel Jibril. In the English terminology, it's Gabriel. "This is the one who keeps the secrets whom Allah had sent to Moses. I wish I were young and could live up to the time when your people would turn you out." Allah's messenger asked, "Will they drive me out?" Warqa replied in the affirmative and said, "Anyone who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility. And if I should remain alive till the day when you will be turned out, then I would support you strongly." But after a few days, Warqa died, and the divine revelation was also paused for a while. This is the first, and I'm going to mention in the next reading, a confirmation of someone who had received revelation before. When I say received, because they're people of the book. So that's what I mean, not that they were prophets, but that they had received a book that had came by way of revelation. And so when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that first experience and he returned to Khadija, "Cover me," I know we just read the story, but I want to make very, very clear connection that someone who was studied, someone who was learned, someone who was in touch with the line of revelation, so that when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with his experience, that person could, I'll use the language, rubber stamp what he had experienced as being true to the process of revelation that had gone on before that revelation started with him. And I want to say right here is that one of my main objectives in continuing this is to encourage us to have an unshakable confidence in the Quran, of course. But the Quran is not often our first resort when we're trying to advance, progress, understand something. The Quran, in too many instances, it comes to us as an afterthought. My friend and brother, rahimahullah alayhi, passed away, Qasim Ahmed, he said, look, the Quran is not a 911 book. Not a 911. You don't run, just pick it up only when things seem to be urgent or you're in some kind of emergency. No, it's a book that you're to be thoroughly tied to on a daily basis, but and more specifically, which is the thrust of what we're saying and focusing on this at this time on this particular set of verses, Ar-Rahman Allama al-Quran, is that this is the book that builds civilization. This is the civilization building book. Not only is that true for the Quran, but that is the truth of Allah's revelation to human beings throughout those thousands of messenger prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all through the time and the ages of man. All of the prophets, those who are named in the Quran and those who are not named in the Quran, but who come serving that role, Allah always sent the revelation before the Quran to assist those who believe in him in making the world better. That's what it is. And so the people who have the responsibility, and for us and forever, since the Quran is now here in place, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. The book, it says, let there arise out of you a group of people building ummah, ta'amaruna bil ma'roof wa tanhauna 'anil munkar, commanding what is known to be excellent and prohibiting what is bad. That's what God is saying. In principle, that's your main job. Create a society that enjoins what has been proven historically to be excellent. Enjoin all that is excellent. The excellence from who? From all the history of man. And prohibit what is other than that. So, our work, when we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, we are signing up to be in a type of army. We're signing up to be a member of a particular kind of force that serves the will of God in our time. The people before our time, they had their time. They had their assignment. Some fulfilled their assignment. Some failed their assignment. This is what God tells us in the Quran, is what history tells us. So now, tag, you're it. You serve God, you're Abdullah, you're a servant of Allah. How? How are you a servant of Allah? How are you serving Allah? Are you using the main instrument, the main utility, the main power, the main weapon as is necessary to serve his will in your time? If you're not doing that with the Quran and you don't have that kind of relationship with the Quran, then at this moment, then, we're failing our mission. Because otherwise, how are you going to fulfill the mission? Let's go on. So embracing the Quran with absolute conviction. I mean, acknowledging the Quran as a power ready for deployment. In what? Everything. 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 You think politics needs to be better? Okay, well, what do you draw from the Quran to use and apply in that situation? You think education should be better? Okay, how have you reached in the Quran and abstracted what would make education better? You think the culture should be better? Okay, where have you reached in the Quran and drawn out of the Quran and found that which would purify and improve the culture? When it comes to economics, do you think economics should be better? Okay, well, where have you reached into the Quran and drew out those principles, those axioms that should be applied to the present economic situation, to your present and personal economic situation, and how are you using it to bear on improving your personal economic situation, and how are you using it to bear on the improvement of the global financial situation? That's the work. You have to ask yourself, what am I working on with the Quran? What am I working on with the Quran? So yes, this is I want a seamless awareness, inshallah, a seamless awareness of this book. I don't want to have, and I don't want us to have a secondary respect for the Quran with something else being the first resort. No, the Quran should be the first resort. Of course, Allah himself is first, but then he gave us the Quran as a guide. So, and this, the emphasis here at this moment is that this was a non-Muslim and this was someone who was in touch with previous scripture. Okay? That's a big an important thing, because there are those in the Islamic world right now who would lead you to believe that, well, no, you don't pay attention to any of those scriptures, not according to the Quran and not according to the Sirah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll read more to reinforce that point, because not only if someone gets you to fail to hold on to the Quran, and the Quran speaks of it as urwatul wuthqa, a handle that will never break off. So if you disconnected from the Quran, and then also you're also disconnected from the line of revelation historically, you got to ask yourself, well, what is guiding my life? A second instance that I'm going to bring up is the position, is the condition or the situation of the Najash, the Negus, sometimes translated as from Abyssinia, Ethiopia, as it was known as known, and the first hijra that was made. That first hijra was not to Medina, to Munawwara, or to Yathrib. That first hijra was made to what people call Africa, Habashi, Abyssinia. And this, again, is only a portion of what was in that experience for the new Muslims of the time. And so the situation was that the Muslims had fled after so many years of persecution to Abyssinia. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had told them that there was a king there that would give them protection and treat them well. So they went to Abyssinia, but of course right on their heels were the Meccans, who wanted to extradite them and bring them back for further persecution, punishment, etc. And so this, the entire confrontation between those Meccans who were coming to get the Muslims who were fleeing their persecution, and then the Najash or the Negus, who was there, the king. And so the bishops had sort of, the bishops in the king's realm, they had kind of been bought by the Meccans. They brought a lot of gifts and the like. And so they tried to persuade the king to send them back with those that had come from Mecca based on the kinds of charges that the Meccans were making. Yeah, most of them had to do with turning away from the religion of their fathers and also breaking up families and different other charges that were designed to have the king and whoever else would listen to look unfavorably on the Muslims. But alhamdulillah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expected and stated, is that this king was a just king, and so he wouldn't just take their word for it. He summoned to have the Muslims to come and in his court explain what the situation was. I won't go through the whole story. You can go online almost anywhere and find the details of that story. I only want to read one portion of what Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who, that is, he's also the son of Abi Talib, like Ali, who was the spokesman for the group in Habashi, says, I'm just reading what Ja'far said, because the king asked him, well, what was your stake? What was the condition that you were in your country? So Ja'far says, O king, we were plunged in the depths of ignorance and barbarism. We adored idols. We lived unchaste lives. We ate the dead bodies, and we spoke abominations. We disregarded every feeling of humanity, and the duties of hospitality and neighborhood were neglected. We knew no law but that of the strong. When Allah raised among us a man of whose birth, truthfulness, honesty, and purity we were aware, and he called us to the oneness of Allah and taught us not to associate anything with him. He forbade us the worship of idols, and he enjoined us to speak the truth and to be faithful to our trust, to be merciful, and to regard the rights of the neighbors and kith and kin. He forbade us to speak evil of women or to eat the substance of orphans. He ordered us to flee from the vices and to abstain from evil, to offer prayers, to render charity, and to observe fasts. We have believed in him. We have accepted his teachings and his injunctions to worship Allah and not to associate anything with him. And we have allowed what he has allowed, and we have prohibited what he has prohibited. For this reason, our people have risen against us, have persecuted us in order to make us forsake the worship of Allah and return to the worship of idols and these other abominations. They have tortured and injured us. Until finding no safety among them, we have come to your country and hope you will protect us from oppression. So this is Ja'far ibn Abi Talib to the Najash on being questioned. And let me say, we may repeat it, doesn't matter, repetition is the mother of learning, that this fits very perfectly to what the Quran is speaking to. We went through a series of expressions of Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan. That situation described just in that reading, Khalaq al-Insan, that is Khalaq al-Insan. What do you mean Khalaq al-Insan? Al-Insan is the civilized human being, the human being that fits the model that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in the nature, fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayh, the nature, the natural model, the natural form, the real, normal. Do you understand that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Prophet Muhammad represents the norm that Allah created human beings to live in. I keep trying this. I'm going to try it one more time because it's so valuable if you can understand it. Now, y'all hold on to your hats. I didn't wear a kufi today for a number of reasons. I'm not going to go into it right now. But there's no law. Let's just put it like that. But I want to do this. So hold on. Don't jump to a conclusion. Just follow me. Think about sisters. Whatever. Either way, it's a little tightrope walk. I got you. Because of who we are, where we are, and when we are. But there's truth in it. So let's go on. If you have ever seen a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, if you've ever seen one, there's a lot of jokes possible for what I'm doing, but since I'm not joking, I'm not going to mess with you. I want you to just think about, in fact, just think about their face. Don't think about any other body parts, okay? Just face. So you say, well, that's a beautiful woman. Or you say that's a handsome man, whoever that is. Whoever that is. There's what you call the golden ratio. The golden ratio. I won't go into it, but you look it up. It's very, very clear, simple. There is a mathematical relationship between the distance from the front to the beginning of the finger to the end of the finger, from this joint to that joint, from the hand to the elbow, from the elbow to the shoulder, all of that. Also, in terms of the eyes, the same kind of math, that is, the same kind of ratio can be calculated when the eyes can be this close or the eyes can be this separated or this. Eyes can be this far from the crown or that far from the crown, and all the other features, the ears, all the other features of the body. But since we're just talking about the face, there is, because of this golden ratio, which is a number that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has applied in nature, and there are many, many other things, flowers and animals and other things that we look at and we see that they're beautiful, but then we can also see a mathematical formula working out in their structure, in the structure, pineapples and rose petals and different things. You can say, oh, look at that. It has this spiraling kind of it, and then it goes out and you show that you find it also in the universe, in the galaxies, et cetera, but all having a mathematical consistency, all having a mathematical pattern. That's everything in nature. Okay, let's come back to the handsome man and the beautiful woman. The handsome man and the beautiful woman, those that you find to be, it's just your nature. Those that you, they just strike you. You look at them and say, they're beautiful. They're handsome. You don't have to think about makeup. You don't have to think about none of that stuff. Just looking at them, beautiful. Now, if somebody did the math on that man, did the math, meaning the calculation, bring whatever that kind of meter measure or whatever that could measure the distance between here and there, the distance between there and there, distance between the eyes, the difference between the forehead and the chin, the difference between the eyes and the mouth, da da da. You'll find that the most beautiful people are the ones who fit that mathematical medium. That mathematical medium. And now, I said medium. Now, another word that goes along with that. Now I want you to understand mathematical mean, mathematical median. All these things, just look these things up to understand the difference between them. The point that I want you to understand is this. is that when you take the extreme on one end, where the mathematical ratios of eyes and nose, et cetera, are really out of sync with what Allah had ordered as the mean, median, average. There's one extreme that goes this way. Let's make it extremely separated. So there's a lot of distance between places where there shouldn't be that much distance. Or then you have those that are so close that it's like, well, that's abnormal because it's so close. It's way outside of the mean and the median for that, right? But the ones who are the most beautiful are the ones who are most consistent with the mathematical mean, median, average that Allah intended. So I can say this, that those who are the most beautiful from a mathematical point of view, most handsome from a mathematical point of view, they are the ones that are closest to the average. I know it's a tough one, but it's worth saying and it's worth taking a minute to think about it. So it's like God is saying, this is my model for all of you. My perfect design is for you to have these relationships between eyes, ears, nose, lips, head, shoulders, arms, feet, legs, etc. When you fit into that mathematical criteria, there's where you will see the beauty that I intended for all of you. And thank Allah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, thank Allah that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Isn't that a blessing? Because most of us will be chucked out of luck because it's like, no, man, you ain't close to the average. No, it's like, oh, man, she's beautiful. Oh, he's so handsome. And then when you see her getting with him and him getting with her, some of us look at it. Come on now, be honest. Some of us look at it and say, how did he get with her? How did she get with him? Why? Because we think that there's a certain, how can you say, beauty conflict. He's like, nah, they don't look like they belong together, right? What is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah decides. He said, this is for you, and this is for you. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Now, how does that relate to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Muhammad is the what science calls the privilege of the normal case. Means that I created all of you to be like him. I created all of you to be like him. And I brought him into existence to live out in front of you the model of how all human beings should be. Ar-Rahman, the gracious. Allama al-Quran, he caused the Quran to be known. Who did he cause the Quran to be known to? He caused it to be known to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khalaqa al-insan. A part of the fact that Allah caused it to be known to Muhammad, as in Ja'far's statement, it says that, speaking of him, I want to get back to that. Oh no, it's worth the wait. Yes. Ja'far, in the beginning of his statement, he says, when Allah raised among us a man whose birth, truthfulness, honesty, and purity, we were aware. That is, we were all aware that he was a man of truth, honesty, and purity, so he already existed as Al-Amin. Then Allah chose to cause the Quran to be known to him. When Allah caused it to be known to him, it more certainly guaranteed a passage and an acceptance on the face of it, because you know who this man is. You know he's not a liar. You know he's truthful. You know he's trustworthy. So Allah revealed it to him. Ar-Rahman allama al-Quran, خلق الإنسان. And that's what happened among the Arabs. I would have to go back and read the whole statement that Jafar made in order to see خلق الإنسان. خلق الإنسان. They were savages. They were beasts. They were barbarous. They were idol worshippers. They were animals like fighting in a cage. And then the Quran was revealed, and Muhammad walked among them with the Quran, and they were transformed, those who embraced it. They were transformed into al-insan from that animal state, that jahil state, that beast-like state. That's a part of the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a blessing. Now it was a blessing not only to, but it was a blessing first to them, and it was a model for us. He was a model for them, and they become a model for us, Quran again, because of the fact that this is what the Quran will do to anybody. Do you think Negroes in your zip code? I got to say Negroes. This is not, I think we're the majority in here. But then you also got some who act like Negroes. They're not Negroes. Do you think they could use a transformation? Do you think they could use a transformation? I'm not forcing for a witness bearing. I'm repeating it. Those people that you wish were different, those people that you wish would stop doing what they do, what do they need? They need the Quran. They need al-Islam. But what is the model of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The model of Muhammad is that the Quran has to be modeled for the people that you want to change. So how well are we modeling the Quran in real time for the people that we're dealing with? That's the work. That's the work. And then Allah says in the Quran, we read it, where it says, and he will establish with that word, with that goodly word. That's how he's going to establish those who believe. He's going to establish them with a word that is true in this life and in the hereafter. But if we don't embrace the word, if we don't imbibe the word, if we don't embody the word, where do we expect our success from? Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving for that purpose. My battery stopped on me. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. آمين اللهم آمين. You having AAA batteries? You having AAA? You do? Oh, my bad. I can't see. Sorry. Oh. If it was a snake. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله this subject ما شاء الله إن شاء الله will continue if not fully so today I'm gonna go ahead and conclude with a mentioning about Juneteenth. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, in 2001, he made this statement regarding the observance of Juneteenth. Alhamdulillah, I mean, we have a testimony of the fact that this is not just because Juneteenth has been set as agreed or passed in law as a federal holiday. This is not a bandwagon move on our part. We were already there. I'm talking about networking too. We were already there than just the day before yesterday, I believe it was signed into law. So I separate myself from the thought that you're just happily going along with what the White House said. No, we are independent in that. But congratulations, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In 2001, Imam Muhammad made this statement. He said, "The day for observing Juneteenth is approaching. All African Americans or blacks in America should know about this observance day. Our history as Americans and as Muslims has developed to unite us again with the motherland in Africa. It is a new life we want for ourselves as descendants of Africa in America. Recently, we made a statement expressing these deep sentiments. The statement is a commitment to continue in the best tradition of the African American struggle for improvement on self and race. This is expressed in the language New Africa. Juneteenth observance gives us an opportunity to publish our best sentiments and preserve this day that celebrates our emancipation. The emancipation process must continue until we are free spiritually as well as bodily." This, end of quote, there's been scholarly work that's been done on what's called Imam Muhammad's hermeneutic, his way of interpreting, his way of reading and scripture and what he emphasizes, emphasizes since he's passed away and we still have it, but emphasized also during his life. And one, Timur Yeskayev, he's Dr. Yeskayev, I think he's the leader of the Department of Chaplaincy at Hartford Seminary, probably, maybe it's been so many years now, so I don't know, maybe he's not there anymore. But he's a Russian Muslim who studied scholars. He studied scholars, and he did a study of Imam Muhammad, and particularly of his hermeneutic, his way of interpreting, again, his epistemology, you know, what really constitutes knowledge. That's what epistemology is about. Your epistemology is what tells you what is or what is not knowledge. So Imam Muhammad has an epistemology, and again, that's the type of thing that I'm pointing to right now. But what was said about the Imam, particularly focusing on his last statement, where it says that Juneteenth observance gives us an opportunity to publish our best sentiments. Go ahead and say the sentiments. What is sentiments? Sentiments you can remember by these letters. A-P-O-P-E. A-P-O-P-E. Affective, meaning your emotions, your feelings. Affective process originating in past experience. Affective, meaning your sentiments flow in a certain direction, a process. Where did it start? Where did it start? Your past experience. Sentimental. I'm in a sentimental mood. If you're in a sentimental mood, what does it mean? You're thinking about something in the past. Affective process that originates in your past experience. Now, some of the sentiments that we have are good. Some of the sentiments that we have are bad. They're things that came from that experience, the experience of slavery. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, I haven't heard a better definition than what describes that experience than what the Imam gave, rahimahullah alayh. He said, we were subjected to an experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives. That's worth hearing again. We were subjected to an experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives. They operated on Bilalians, African Americans, blacks, etc. They operated on us to take out of us sentiments of excellence. They conspired openly and covertly to create a situation that would result in the birthing of a people who would never grow. That's what Negro is. Negro means never grow. Why never? Because he's dead. That's what Negro means. An experimental clinic designed to cut. It's happening right now. I hate to put it on you like this, but I want you to see the experiment that I'm talking about. Alive right now. When we finish here today, we need men to set up. You can take this however you want to take it, because if you're on that Negro tip, I rest my case. Situation is, we have to set up tables, we have to set up chairs, we have to set up the canopies, et cetera, for tomorrow, so we don't have to be rushed. No, leave it on one man, Ibrahim, et cetera. And plus, Tamir is not here now anyway, so it really would. Some of you, you just willingly drop it on Ibrahim. But you see him in the gym working out, cutting out. Oh, he's strong. Let him do it. Come on now. That's why we young people with muscles run away from us. Man, shoot, they're going to wear you out. They see you got the muscles. Look, but a Negro was it, man, I ain't got time to do that. Negro, man, how come they ain't do it, man? Shoot, you got to pay me. Who's that calling? Negroes? Bad sentiment, not sentiments of excellence, right? And so this moment is a moment where the spotlight is on. But move it out to next week or take a look at last week. It doesn't matter. That Negro, that reversion to the mean, I talked about numbers, right? The reversion, there's a mean and a median for Negroes. There are things that Negroes will do, and there are things that Negroes won't do, because that's just the way Negroes are. I know it's like, look, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you what the reality is to appreciate what the imam is actually saying here. We're supposed to have our best sentiments on display. Don't we need to have a day where that I'm going to be the best that I can be today in acknowledgement of an opportunity for true emancipation? Because you're not free until you're free to act in accordance with your best self. But if the experimental clinic was so successful on you that you can only react in ways that are consistent with how the master wanted you to react, then you're still not free. 2021. All right? So the best sentiments, and this is why Jeffers, going back to Jeffers' statement, what Jeffers is telling us, he invited us to be the best. And we chose to follow him in being the best. Muhammad is a model for them, they're a model for us, we're supposed to be a model for the world. So the first place that we're supposed to manifest and demonstrate that I believe in what Allah has revealed, I believe in what Muhammad has modeled, we're supposed to be our best self. And so Juneteenth as a day to have your best sentiments on display is what Imam Muhammad is saying. And preserve this day that celebrates our emancipation. And he says, the emancipation process must continue until we are free spiritually. spiritually as well as bodily. Very, very, very important. Sometimes we don't know how we are bound. And Frederick Douglass has such a wonderful statement. I'll give it a paraphrase, but continue. He was writing to Ida B. Wells, who herself was expressing the best sentiments and excellence of our emancipation growth against the lynching. And Frederick Douglass wrote her a letter praising her eloquence that he said, I'm paraphrasing, put his to shame. That's my paraphrase. He calls her a brave woman. And he said, if this world was half as Christianized as they claim to be, it said the voices would rise to the high heavens to shame this nation for the kind of behavior, especially as regards to lynching. And we could say the same about police brutality right here today. That's horrible. That police killing thing, what's the difference? What's the difference? And if the George Floyd thing hadn't been caught on camera, no deal. But moving past that, Frederick Douglass, he says, but alas, even crime has the ability to reproduce itself and to create the conditions necessary for its own perpetuation. Meaning that he calls it crime, or he's speaking about crime, the crime of lynching. He said crime has the capacity to reproduce itself, and create the conditions for its own perpetuation. So we're still experiencing, as I just illustrated, in the police brutality and the police killing scenario, the same kind of killing that we were seeing at the lynchings in his response to Ida B. Wells. It's been the same thing as with impunity, meaning they keep on killing and nobody goes to jail. No police goes to jail. Okay, so it says crime has to be, well, understand this, culture is the same. Once a culture gets established, it creates the conditions for its own reproduction. And those people who were first formed by the original culture, they physically, literally die away. But the culture, which is autonomous, continues to acculturate the people who live under it into the mindset, into the sentiment, into the form and attitude that was original for it, let's call it 150 years ago. So you have Negroes today that act the same way as a Negro you can find 150 years ago. And you also have whites today who will act the same way that their white ancestors acted in relationship to Negroes. They're acting the same way. So Juneteenth, as the imam is saying here, is an opportunity for us to express our best sentiments. So it's like Juneteenth, I ain't going to be that Negro. Now you already know Negroes already in the liquor store right now. Stacking up them fists. Come on, don't act like you don't know now. Seeing that guy that they know they have to check in with to get what they got to get so that they can marry, we're going to have them. But maybe we're going to blow it up, man. It's Juneteenth, bruh. Is that what it's supposed to be about? No, but that's what it's going to be about for too many. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to have our good time. And when you're here tomorrow, then inshallah, remember that. Express your best sentiments. Help where help is needed. Support where support is needed. Model where modeling is needed. Do you understand that our young people, they are looking at the way we interact with each other and they are imbibing from us the values and the sentiments that they are going to carry on in their generation? Be careful of that. Be concerned about that. so that we can create a new generation, a new culture, a new set of sentiments that are better than the ones that we were raised in. Let us remember that. Let's be that way. I think there was another suggested name for it. Inshallah, I'll bring that up afterwards. So, brothers and sisters, let us recognize. I want to take a look. I won't go into it right now. Go ahead and take a look at Surah 6, Ayah 19. I think you can get something from that. And then if you take the 19 and put it with the year 21, that is 2021, but then make it 1921, I think you will also see a connection to a very important part of our history that can be tied to the struggle for freedom, equality, and justice, et cetera, in America when you look at that people in 1921. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت رب لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا أعهد أوادك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبلك بنعمتك علي وأبلك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. Oh Allah, we thank you for your graciousness. We thank you for your gifts. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the enlightenment that you have guided us to. We thank you for the purification. We beg that you will guide us nearer to the path even in this. Oh Allah, strengthen us to overcome our weak sentiments. Oh Allah, strengthen us to overcome the ignorance that the culture has imbued into us. Oh Allah, bless us to be freed and emancipated from the life that the world would have us be in. Bless us, oh Allah, to imbibe, to take in, to live out the model example that you have given to us in Muhammad. May your peace and your blessings forever be upon him. Oh Allah, we pray that you would bless us to understand his life more, live his life more, and bless us to extend his life into the world. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Amen. Amen. Wa alaykum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يعلمكم الله وتابكم الله. Make our roads straight and even if our roads aren't straight, our hearts won't agree. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين. لإلاف قريش ألافهم رحلة شتاء وصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جوع وآمنه من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. الحمد لله. But this we're gonna make announcements now. You can make it. If you want to make sentences, you can make it sentences. You just can't have conversation on the floor while the announcements are being made. And it's not an obligation for you to stay. But we just want to make sure you hear. So the NAS Summer Social Calendar, it is out. So be sure to be in touch with that information. I'm going to presume it's in the newsletter and copies of that are available today. But it's a full summer program for the young people. So check in with mshspeters@gmail.com. mshspeters@gmail.com. That's Dr. Hanifa Peters for details about all of the NNAS programs, and that is the youth business activity, and also the what else? The weekly program here. No weekly program. Okay, good. That's fine. Summer's come. All right. Yes, Malik Salahuddin. Make sure I log him in. I meant to do his birthday last week. June, his was the 9th. Amani Shabazz, that great graduate this past June 14th, just graduated. Ethel Hamid, alhamdulillah. Mu'ma Ali and Kiyama Nasir, alhamdulillah. They all have birthdays from the 9th to the 19th on that list. We just spoke about Juneteenth. There's also going to be a Zoom presentation to the community on wealth building. And it's hosted by one of we just named Kiyama Nasir, more from the Nasir tree, the Yusuf tree. Kiyama's off that same tree, alhamdulillah, the Sheikh tree. They shake the tree and something comes off of it. Alhamdulillah, good fruit. So alhamdulillah, so 7 p.m., Zoom presentation to the community on wealth building. How are they getting that those numbers? Okay, so there's a flyer. You can get the announcement, and also it'll be in your email, inshallah, as well. Also, July 3rd, Masjid Waratin Vendor Fair and Food Fest, and we really are highlighting vendors in that. It's going to be another thing that we are going. Go ahead. Yes, all the brothers who are going to help Brother Ibrahim, just check in with him before you leave. Don't leave without that. I'm going to leave the jokes aside. I got some good ones that I'm holding on to. I can't say it. Let's go. So July 3rd, yes, for that. So tomorrow, June 10th, actually, what's the time frame on that? Do we have a start time? I don't see it on this. 12 to 6? Inshallah, 12 to 6. Yes, like Master Dora theme, Backyard Freedom Barbecue. Master Dora theme, Backyard Freedom Barbecue. Alhamdulillah, and everything is free, but nothing to go. Nothing to go. If it goes, it goes in your stomach. There's no takeaway in terms of that, okay? Also, congratulations to our graduates, Naeem Barrett, Bachelor of Science in Engineering, Trinity University. Asiya Rashid, Bachelor of Science, Industrial Psychology, San Diego State University. Magna Cum Laude. Cum Laude. See, I don't even know how to say it. Magna Cum Laude. Ansaria Mohammed, Central High School, Sacramento. Aliyah Njm Alim, promoted to the first grade. Alhamdulillah. Our condolences to Tahida Abdul Rashid, whose father passed away, and also Zalia Adamo, whose brother-in-law passed away. And I just found out I don't have a date. If I announce it, I don't remember doing so. Sister Khalila Muhammad, the wife of Asma Muhammad, her father passed away. Probably a little more than a month ago, maybe about the same time that our daughter passed away, Sophia. So make sure you reach out and confirm your condolences to all these people who have been stellar in their faith and contribution to the life of our community. So I mentioned Zalia Adamo, whose brother-in-law passed away. Also, Rashad and Manaima Shahid, June 15th anniversary, alhamdulillah. And also Ahmed and Saba Akbar, alhamdulillah, celebrating anniversaries as well. May Allah guide us to the best. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.